This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
I was really, really close to leaving. I think that was the first time I'd ever been like, you can't have me. I genuinely was feeling so stressed out and not heard.
That's a lot of pressure.
And the comments were crazy. It was like, I bet you she's jerking them off behind the table.
No, what?
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Visit betterhelp.com/padilla because sometimes existing is exhausting.
I keep wanting to say, Courtney!
Andy!
Hey, Courtney! Hello, Courtney!
Hey!
I can't not say it that way. Where did that start?
I have no idea. I think that's the first time you've done that.
No, I just go, Courtney!
Andy!
Yeah, anyway. Hello, Courtney Miller.
Hi, hello, Anthony Padilla.
Wow. We always... full names only.
Yes, that's how important we are.
Very high class. You've been at Smosh almost 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
You're one of the first cast members. But you know what the crazy part is? That you've been there almost 10 years, and if you subtract the 6 years that I wasn't there, I was there 12. So the only reason I really came back is because I didn't want you to be there longer than me.
Wow, you didn't want me to become the older sibling?
Yeah.
I mean, I was 19 when I auditioned.
That's wild.
And I turned 29 this year.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Ew.
What's the ew?
Time.
The fact that it's been a decade.
Yeah. I came into Smosh this little goofball who had like, I was just so awkward and had this like low self-esteem and didn't know how to dress, but I was just excited and eager.
I mean, it's wild from my perspective to see, because you were hired on as a teenager.
Now,
you are a full-grown adult now.
Yes.
And you just have so many skills that it feels like any situation that you're thrown into, you somehow find a way to excel in it.
Oh, thank you. Shut up. Thanks.
I just can't imagine a world where your talents aren't being recognized.
I like to think that if I had never joined Smosh, I would have become my own YouTuber personality or creator.
Because you were making Vines at the time.
I was on Vine. That's how Olivia and I met. Mm-hmm. That's how I got the audition, which is like technically my first audition ever.
And you landed a full-time job
100%.
At your first audition?
100%!
One for one? Bro!
Let's go!
It's so weird for me to look back at that time where you were hired on as talent and you were the new cast member. And I was not sympathetic at all to the fact that you were new, in the sense that like the pressure of being new on camera for millions of people to judge and scrutinize on an established channel, that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, dude, I remember the comments on like the first video I was in with you guys. Like it was the drawing Star Wars character from memory.
Oh.
I think that was the first like personality one where I actually would have been noticed. Because otherwise it's like sketches where it's like, who's that dumb ugly girl?
I think you were playing a dumb ugly girl with like,
yeah, I had like
shit on your face or something.
I was supposed to look like a meth addict.
Oh yeah, so your first video was meth addict.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, huh!
So you got swipe left on for your first video?
Damn right.
Epic!
Oh,
as meth addict?
Dude,
yo!
Meth addict.
Nice.
Let's go! In the weeds!
Full range.
Yeah, and the comments were crazy. It was like, I bet you she's jerking them off behind the table.
No,
and
what?
Like, who is she? Who is she dating? Who did she date to get in this video?
What?
Like, of course.
That's
I know,
so
sorry,
weird.
That's very graphic.
No, but for real, like those are...
Those exist.
That happens, and I was not sympathetic to it at all. I was just like, well, another video, another day.
I mean, yeah, because probably at that point, you weren't even looking at comments, because like you guys were just going a mile a minute.
Beyond the comments, too, there's this pressure to impress your peers and, you know, everyone else that you're working with. And I felt that firsthand coming back in, and that was a weird experience for me. Like, knowing that one of the first things I was going to be shooting with all of you was a Try Not to Laugh.
Oh, yeah.
And I had been so out of practice of doing comedy in general, but especially improvised comedy, and you all had been practicing in doing that show for, I think that you started almost right around the same time that I left. So you had been doing Try Not to Laughs and all this other improvised comedy for 6 years. And I was coming in fresh. I was like, fuck, I am fucked. I have no experience doing this. What the hell? And like, I was still getting to know all of you. I was trying to become familiar with being on camera again in that capacity, because it's so vulnerable. You can't just do another take. And I became very comfortable in the space that Ian and I created, where it was like, oh, sketches, it's all pre-planned, it's all pre-written and shot-listed and figured out down to a T beforehand. And if you mess up during it, cut, do another take.
Right.
But the way that Smosh Pit had evolved, it felt very high stakes. And all of you are so talented. Coming in and feeling like I had to live up to that was very difficult. Witnessing you improvise is just so exciting, because the character choices that you make are things that I don't know if anyone would ever make some of these choices, and they're just so crazy. Like you coming out as your Matrix character.
Oh yeah, I don't know, dude.
And Shane's proposing to you, and you are like, no, you're.
Yeah, and I was like,
yeah, yeah. You've done a lot of different characters though. You did Brianna Boho. That was a scripted character.
That was. I mean, she's a parody of a real person.
Parody of a real person. I don't know who it could be, a parody.
I have no idea. Doesn't rhyme or anything.
No. And Gerald Cakes.
God, that's the newest one.
Who just got a name.
Yes, Gerald Cakes, because Chance named him. Yeah, it's just a guy with a big ass, and he's on his way.
Uh-huh. And he never says anything else.
I don't like talking as him. He feels like a character that doesn't say much. And I didn't realize that I had already spoken in a previous bit and then went into talk, and I was like, oh, he's British, and like decided he was British. And then I lost the accent. And so like, those are the moments where I'm like, I don't know about my improv, dude. Yeah. I don't know.
And that first time that you came out, I had to ask, I was like, you made that up right before, when did you plan that? It feels so established though, because it's like an inside joke. Everyone at Smosh always says, I'm on my way. It's been really cool to witness your confidence raising, you know, from a 19-year-old to a 29-year-old, but also just even since I've come back and witnessing from, you know, the past 7 months, again, you know, these characters that you play, you bring that confidence in order to play these characters so well. One of your character, Dominic, the entire persona is just unwavering confidence.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah, what was...
I just love him. So he was originated from, we did like a Jake Paul versus Logan Paul boxing match video that did not perform well. But that wig. And I also was wearing like a silicone male breastplate.
Mm.
So I had like pecs and abs, and it was really freaky. But mostly that wig, I was like, this is awesome. And like, I have felt senses of like gender fluidity in my life and like leaning more into masculine and et cetera. And like Dominic, I literally disappear into Dominic.
Yeah.
Like people say that I disappear into Brianna Boho because it's like, I think when I recognized the elements of like, okay, I don't need to put myself in one box that is like girl, woman.
Right.
And when I did that, it honestly started becoming even more comfortable to lean into my femininity and then like the being able to swing over into Dominic territory, and just I love him so much.
He's like, you felt like you could.
He's just such a dude. He's so happy to be here.
And hey, Dom.
Maybe do you want my phone number? What's
Dominic, that? Check under your seat right there. We got a message from someone. They asked if they could air this out on the show. Dom, can you just look under the seat? There's something in there.
Seriously?
I'm freaking serious, bro.
What the
frick? Where? Oh, it's right there.
What the frick?
There's a letter for Dom. Can you read that for me? Someone wrote this for you. They want to air this out now.
Ah!
Can you read that, Dom?
This is to Dominic.
Read it, Dom.
What's up? I hate that I'm not wearing the wig.
Yeah.
Hey, dude. Letting you know, someone in the queer platonic group chat, the one you left after Kai's altar made some... What the fuck is happening?
This is a copypasta.
Oh my God, okay.
You gotta read this, Dom.
The one you left after Kai's altar made some acephobic comments, which he apologized for later, by the way. Said they found receipts on your Twitter of you liking a James Charles tweet, which is really... Yikes. Also, Rainbow said you were tweeting on your Steven Universe roleplay account that you were gonna rewatch Atla, which is like a really transphobic and racist and sexist show, and you should know how Ash feels about, even if they won't say anything about it because of their anxiety. I just wanna let you know, I know Ash can be biphobic sometimes. They also live in an apartment and their parents are divorced, so they have PTSD from it. I think Ash might write a call out, but me and Rainbow are trying to calm them down because just be aware and maybe stop being toxic. Holy
wow.
shit.
Can you believe that someone wrote that?
This is real?
Someone wrote that.
Dominic would never write this.
Someone wrote it to Dominic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, dude.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
Wow.
How do you feel about that message?
Distraught.
Can you believe there is biphobia, acephobia, transphobia,
racism,
homophobia,
just general toxic
and general toxicity? I think you and Rainbow.
Yo, me and Rainbow gotta sit down. We gotta sit down over some bang energy and have a talk.
He'll probably be okay though in the end. I think you'll be okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Dom.
Wow.
Wow. Dominic, everyone.
Thanks.
Dominic.
Wow. Did you play that?
No, that was an accident. We didn't plan that at all.
Improv.
Yeah, that's been there for months.
Wow, you've just been picking, you've been waiting for the right guest.
You were the right guest. It just kind of fell into place, yeah.
I have another copy pasta.
Okay, let's just get more
copy pastas.
This is so funny.
Should we make a series where characters just read copy pasta?
Or it's like copy pasta in real life. And it's them having these conversations with each other.
Okay, I know this copy pasta.
You've seen this one?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear it.
I got this.
Brianna.
Hey.
Right? Is it Brianna? Brianna.
It's Brianna.
Brianna.
Okay, I just have something I gotta get off my chest.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay?
Okay.
So, okay, are you listening?
Yes, calm down. All ears.
Blood is in your ears?
Yeah.
Not in your little pee-pee? Eyes up here? Sorry, it's Brianna speaking. She doesn't know what HR is.
Okay. Okay. Yes, it's not in my pee-pee. Continue.
I have something I have to get off of my amazing chest.
Okay.
I like to creep around my home and act like a goblin. I don't know why, but I just, like, enjoy doing this. Maybe it's my way of dealing with stress or something, but I just do it once every week. Okay. Generally, I'll carry around a sack and creep around in a sort of crouch-walking position, making goblin noises. And then I'll walk around my house and pick up various different trinkets and put them in my bag while saying stuff like, I'll be having that. And laughing maniacally, like in a little goblin voice, like, nah, 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 nah. And, you know, trinkets can include anything from shit I find on the ground to cutlery or other utensils.
Cutlery.
The other day, I was talking with my neighbors, and they mentioned hearing weird noises, like what I wrote about. And I was just internally screaming like this. Ah! And the entire conversation, I'm just like, I'm 99% sure that they don't know it's me. But God, that 1% chance is seriously weighing on my mind. My goblin era.
Thanks for getting that off your chest.
Thank you. Top comment is, bruh. I'm laughing my ass off. It's so weird, yet innocent. I have no idea what to think about it. Ha ha ha.
How do you feel about that?
Goblin mode?
Yeah.
Everyone knows goblin mode.
Everyone knows goblin mode. I've been there.
You've been there?
I've been to goblin mode.
You've been in your goblin era?
I've been in goblin era.
Love that.
Yeah, walking around on all fours.
That's just your yoga videos.
That's true. I call it goblin era.
Characters are amazing because you get to play and step away from being yourself for a little bit.
Do you feel like that has allowed you to be more of yourself? Because you mentioned that playing Dom, it was this masculine role. You realized that you could, like, fall, like, totally turn away from your feminine side.
Mm-hmm.
Did it feel like it allowed you to be more feminine because you had this outlet to be more masculine?
Yeah, like, I sometimes wrestle with just, like, what I wear on a daily basis because it's a struggle to, like, fit what I'm feeling. Like, at the end of the day, I wish I could be a floating orb
mm-hmm.
of energy, like this glittering orb that makes you go, wow, you're so funny. Now you're so hot, too. Like, that's what I wish.
So a really sexy soul?
Yes. Like, gender fluid, I want to be a puddle that makes people horny. Don't clip this.
There will be puddles.
There will be puddles.
Anywho, so...
Yeah, I would say so. Like, I do, for a long time, I would black out during my characters.
Just, like, go into full flow state, just...
Yeah, but also, like, the anxiety of performing sometimes.
Oh, so it was dissociation.
Yeah. So it was kind of just, like, taking my hands off the wheel because I was so scared of the people behind the camera not liking what I did that I would just, like, really, like, survival mode, putting the energy out and, like... And yeah, it teeters sometimes between like when I am fully like present in my roles.
I was gonna say it's really interesting because you gave up like in your dissociation, you gave up control. You allowed your mind to run on autopilot. Therefore, you know, kind of, you let your mind do what it felt was right.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, you're almost trusting yourself.
Or also like, if I'm not in control, then I'm not responsible for any mistakes I can make.
But then it ends up being good stuff.
Pretty good, yeah. I will say, the day that I created him, I was having an off day.
Really?
I was not, I don't know, I think I was just nervous. Sometimes you have those days where you're like, oh, I do not have it today.
Yeah.
And I have the inner dialogue where it's like, oh, they're pretending it's funny. They're just trying to like, it's pity laughs, like it's fine.
It is like a
imposter syndrome of like, yeah, they're just laughing at me because I've been here a while and like they think it's good to laugh at me.
I do the same thing. I'm like, they are laughing because they feel like they have to because they're scared of me.
Because
they're scared of me or they're like, that's my boss, I have to laugh. That's an interesting element that I realized going into creating comedy again, you know, to making that a full-time part of my job now. Because coming in here, yeah, it's I still have to be on it, but at the same time, I don't have to be like bringing the jokes.
Mm.
And it's really hard to bring the jokes when you are having an off day. In order for Smosh to thrive, or at least the on-camera presence to thrive, there is this pressure to like put that aside and just bring your A game every time.
It also, a lot of it comes down to feeling comfortable in your environment. Like,
mm-hmm.
there's something I love about a familiar face, just like in general. And so it is just, the longer I've worked here, the more I love that like, there are these people around that know me and see me and like, I get to just make them laugh as my job. And like, at the end of the day, it's my buddy on that stool.
Yeah, I will say the longer I am here at Smosh, the more comfortable I get. Like, even if I am having an off day, knowing that I could show up there and it's such a good environment and it feels so fun. It really does feel, I don't want to say family because it's work, okay? But it does feel like there is that level of comfortability at like a family get together, I'll say that. Like it feels good knowing that people there like have your back.
I think the greatest thing about, especially in this latest era, is just like there is just such an authentic level of support from all around. Cause like sometimes in this industry, you can feel like people are out to get you. Cause when I first started, like I almost was let go a few months in.
Really?
You did not know that.
That's weird, I can't believe I didn't know that, no.
Yeah, I mean, cause like it was my first time working in an office setting.
Mm-hmm.
And also like I was used to YouTube content, but like I was very excited and very eager and like had a lot of thoughts and would be like, oh, you should use this kind of music on the donut sketch and like, and things like that. And then, I got like a stern talking to of like, hey, you need to know your place.
Oh, because you were like too excited about being a content creator?
And like contributing, yeah. I was seen as I was stepping on people's toes, this 19-year-old with no power. I do feel like that was a beneficial moment. And like, especially a lot of people in this industry have like people pleaser syndrome. And so you start to not only like hope for response and validation, but then you start to depend on it. And then I think in previous eras at Smosh, just certain leadership would kind of take advantage of that and give you praise and then just take it away from you. And so it was like, it happens so much in this industry of just when you're talent, when you're an online personality, you're kind of at the mercy of how people perceive you.
If those people don't like you and like the stuff that you're making, you don't have a future in doing what you're doing.
Yeah, and it can affect you a lot. Like I, at a certain point, especially in the pandemic when like online was really all we had, that was when I really attached to Smosh because it was like, we are in some tough times and people are literally going to Smosh to escape and to like forget about all the crappy stuff and like just laugh. And I feel like this is a responsibility. I take it so seriously that we get to be that for people. And I, you know, it was also like new into Mythical and like going into the Mythical era was like my first time where I felt like I was genuinely being like acknowledged and praised for my impact at Smosh.
You almost quit.
Yeah.
And everything would have been different.
A year ago from filming this, I almost quit Smosh. I mean, I was at 8 years at that point and I like, that was the longest I had ever done anything. I am still to a degree, but I was so attached to Smosh and like I cared so much to the point where I think I was like let anything get to me because at the time, you know, the main channel was struggling. We were struggling to, like, you know, find something that was sticking. And, you know, other stuff was going on that was just making me just feel, like, so stressed out.
Relatable. Well, that's part of what pushed me to leave. It was my entire identity. It was me. I felt like it was me. So when things started going completely away from the way that I thought it should go, in my mind, it felt like a part of me was being pulled away from who I felt I was. A lot of dissociation. Yeah, so it didn't feel like reality.
And I am familiar with that feeling as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so is that what you...
At a certain point, like, because everybody at home, when work is really tough, you just kind of have to, like, focus on the day-to-day.
Get the thing done.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I am worried about all the other feelings attached to this, then mm-hmm. I will never get the work done. So then you completely dissociate from all the feelings from it. And therefore, it doesn't even feel like you're experiencing reality. You're just, like, tunnel vision doing a thing.
Yeah. And, like, it kind of takes the passion out of it. Because, like, when you're just letting your passion go and you're, like, you're creating and you're like, how about this? And you just, like, you're not stopping yourself. And then I cared so much about our content. I still do, obviously. But, like, it was an unhealthy attachment almost to a point.
What was it that pushed you to that point? Was it the fact that it felt like you couldn't be passionate about it anymore?
My job had changed a lot over the years where, you know, sometimes I was writing and coming up with the ideas, and then other times I felt like I had nothing that I could do or contribute to. And I think it just kind of got lost what I did there.
Mm-hmm.
It just got to a point where I felt like useless. Like I felt because I wasn't being included or, you know, championed in the way that I was hoping to after all this time. And it's not like I was like sitting around expecting someone to like call my name and summon me for something. Like I really wanted to be involved, but I wasn't really being given opportunities to write anymore. And so like I would work really hard just to find something to like fulfill my passions. I just felt like ultimately I just didn't feel like I was being heard. And so I was ready to go. I had a serious meeting and was like, hey, like I just wanna do what I've been doing forever. But like I don't know what's going on. And at that point my contract was gonna be up in a couple months. And so we had this talk and then we're like, all right, well, we'll see where we're at in a couple months. And it was like, I did end up sticking around and like, and then literally like just a few months later, Ian started being like, hey, we need to have a serious meeting on a Sunday. I have some news for you. And I was like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
had no idea that it was that Ian and I were going to buy Smosh back.
Yeah, I thought it was done.
You thought it was bad news. It's so wild though to hear how close you were to quitting because it feels like you are thriving now and it feels like you have so much more opportunity to even go further with how many talents and skills that you have. You know, you were hired on as simply on-camera talent.
Yeah.
But you've evolved to be able to do things like produce and write and direct. You just directed the live funeral roast that we just did recently.
Oh yeah, the casual Anthony's Dead, the funeral is the biggest event we've done.
The biggest event in Smosh history.
I feel so lucky that I'm in it now. You know, like I was really, really close to leaving. I literally like shot an email out and it was days before about to start a shoot week.
Mm-hmm.
And
Shard a shoot week, yeah. Sometimes it feels like
that.
You put
that in, I swear to God, no.
Do it.
We were literally about to go into a shoot week and I was like, I can't. And I like pulled out of it. And I think some audience members were like, where's Courtney? Because it was like literally that week was a month or so of content. So I was just like not in content for a bit.
You just couldn't do it? You couldn't show up?
I think that was the first time I'd ever been like, you can't have me for a little bit.
Oh.
Because I genuinely was feeling so stressed out and not heard. It's going back to that. If you live your life based on what others think of you, you're limiting yourself. And like when I started believing in my own potential, despite what other people assumed were my limits, I went further than I ever thought I could have.
Isn't that crazy? You know, I realized at a certain point in my life that I was perceiving myself from the third person, in the sense that I was, every action that I did, I was thinking, okay, how would this be perceived? Because when you're on camera that much, that becomes the way that, or at least it's easy to fall into that thinking pattern.
Optics, the house.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you're like the, coming from an editor brain, you're like,
yeah.
You're like, okay, I'm seeing the way this is gonna look on camera. I'm seeing the way people are gonna perceive this. I'm seeing the way that they're gonna comment and even what they're not gonna comment, but they're gonna think it. And that limits you so much. And I mean, I could even say, even since coming back to Smosh in the past 7 months now, that there have been periods of time, entire shoot weeks, where I just can't get out of that mindset.
It's like when you're younger and you have like a crush, and you start getting ready in the morning and you're like, what outfit would they like?
Oh,
and it limits your wardrobe, yeah. You know? That puts it into like a direct like symbolism. Like, that's what it is. If you start trying, it's like if you were to have a specific type of audience, like that isn't necessarily you, like, because then you're trying to form to something that you aren't authentic to. And like, that's why I love what we do, because it's like the personality unscripted content. It's like, I am being myself and I'm hopefully attracting like-minded people.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. The less you think about the way that others perceive you, the less I think that people are worried about the way you are perceived, you know? And that's what people really are attracted to in terms of like the type of people that they want to watch on the internet. I feel like it's the more unapologetically yourself, the better. And you are holding yourself back when you are trying to guess what people are going to think of you.
Yeah, and it was like, it's not even just the audience, it was like my peers. Like, I, when I started Smosh, I was like in a relationship that I was just, I had a terrible self-esteem. I was putting up with so much crap. I really don't think I was fully my own person 100% until the 20s. Not my 20s, but the 2020s. Yeah, I used to truly feel like, there's a podcast episode from way back early Mythical days where like I was like, you know, I don't know that I've found my like true group of people that I feel like my support system, because, you know, I don't know, I guess I've just struggled, or at least believing that people liked me. And I think that's why I didn't have the friends that I wanted, because I truly, I think I struggled for a long time, like imposter syndrome, didn't believe people liked me. And if they did, it was very conditional. Like I basically have had like a mean voice in my head for a long time, being like, oh, they don't think you're funny. Oh, they said they like your skirt, but they don't actually like your skirt. Like, just consistently. And then whenever that presented itself in real life, whether it was like previous coworkers or peers, like it solidifies that voice even more. And like, it's, I'm sure people can relate at home. It's just like, it's a tough thing to fight when it's like your brain is telling you that.
Yeah. How did you quiet that? You know, I feel like that's been part of the reason that you've been able to find yourself so much, is quieting that voice.
Mm-hmm. I mean, therapy is great.
Yeah.
But also like the funeral live show was the first time where I was being fully trusted to just go with my ideas. And like, I said this on the Smosh Mouth podcast, but like, where I was like, okay, this is the time where I need to see if I've been delusional or if I genuinely am capable of these things that I'm thinking about. And like, trying to hush that voice that's trying to shut me down. And
that voice was probably louder because the pressure was there.
Yeah. And when you're just generally stressed, that voice is just like loud, loud, loud.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think my therapist has talked about how it's like that voice is trying to protect you, because me believing that someone likes my skirt is like making me vulnerable somehow.
Yeah.
But like, that is being an artist, is like being vulnerable. And so.
Yeah. And it's having the confidence to know some people aren't going to like it.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But the people who like it are gonna really like it.
Yeah, and it's so cool having a physical representation of that with the live show, and also the trailer that like is truly one of my proudest creations ever. And I hope to make more like that in the future, because I just had this idea and I just, nobody was saying no. No one was stopping me. It was really cool, like this was mine. And I never had been able to feel like I could say that before.
Are you frustrated?
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud. Or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda. Whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Frustrated because you don't have the perfect wardrobe to match your ever-evolving lifestyle? Whether you're getting ready for vacation or you're simply bored of your old choices, the stylists at Stitch Fix make sure you can always have something to wear. Stitch Fix is the best way to shop new styles and brands. Think of them as your style partner. Your stylist will learn about your tastes and collaborate with you on looks that you'll love without breaking the bank. You simply share your preferences, style, and budget, and Stitch Fix sends you 5 items in a fix right to your door. They have over 1,000 brands and styles, so no matter what season you're in, Stitch Fix has you covered. And with a wide range of sizes, they'll find the perfect fit. Plus, you get to try everything at home and keep what you like, then just send back the rest. Over time, Stitch Fix and their style experts will match you with greater precision based on your likes and dislikes. So if you want style that makes you feel as good as you look, get started today at stitchfix.com/Padilla. That's stitchfix.com/Padilla. stitchfix.com/Padilla. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you ever feel like your brain is getting in its own way? Like, you know what you should do or what's good for you, but you just can't seem to do it? Therapy helps you figure out what's holding you back so you can work for yourself instead of against yourself. As I'm sure many of you know, I've been a huge advocate of therapy since I started going about 6, maybe 7 years ago, and it's helped me in almost every facet of my life. Whether dealing with anxiety or depression or just the day-to-day struggles of being human, therapy has been a guiding light for me. So if you've been thinking about starting therapy, BetterHelp might be perfect for you. It's entirely online and it's designed to work around your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you'll be matched with a certified and licensed therapist. Plus, you can switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. Celebrate the progress you've already made. Give BetterHelp a try. Visit betterhelp.com/Padilla today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Padilla. Now back to the world of Courtney Miller.
You know, you had all that responsibility. You were not just directing it. You were in the funeral. There's a lot of pressure there. So many different things that you were juggling all at once. How does it feel now to be a little more than a month away from that, knowing that not only did you have all that responsibility on you and no one was saying no, but you crushed it and now you've just proven yourself. Like, you've leveled up in another way.
Thank you. It feels really fucking cool, but also the imposter syndrome is like, you got away with people thinking you did a good thing.
They're gonna find out.
No one knows yet that you're actually a fraud.
Or like, that you had to throw some things together last minute.
Yeah,
or,
like, all of this was luck.
Yeah.
All of this was a fluke.
I told myself about myself with Smosh for so many years.
Yeah.
All of it was just a fluke. At some point, someone's gonna realize, like, you're just one misstep away from the entire facade falling down and you, the real anxious, vulnerable you being exposed, and you're just like, ah.
Sorry, that just made me nervous.
Yeah,
no, I just burped that out.
The nervous burps are real. That was the real you trying to come out.
The real me just came out of them.
Yeah, yeah. The vulnerable you.
No,
it's left, though. Well, no.
Stop! Don't do that. That's my fear. No!
Nope. She's still in this room.
Is she in the room with us now?
She's here. She's here. I sense her presence.
But yeah, I will say, like, when you're talking about how I knew how to utilize and take on these things, like, I agree. And I think that is a huge skill for a director or for someone in leadership to have, is to, like, know how to use your tools, you know?
Yeah.
I championing the people for what they're good at, and mm-hmm. like, that's kind of like what you did when you were like, oh yeah, like, I heard you have these ideas, we got to get you into more of that. Like, you guys were ready to throw me into more stuff before the live show even happened.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, well, let's do the live show and see how you guys feel.
Yeah.
So I was fully anticipating for me to mess up and for you guys to go, see, we shouldn't have trusted Courtney.
Mm-mm.
And yeah, it's an ongoing battle.
The more confident I get in my work, the more confident I get in my real life, and vice versa. It goes both ways,
yeah.
Right? Do you feel like there are things that in your work that have, you know, come out in both sides?
I think over time, as I've really found my footing as, like, my own person again, I've gotten friends who are, I mean, friends who were kind of close, who are closer than ever, and I don't think a lot of that is like believing praise when it comes my way or like believing like if that someone loves me and that like my single mistake or like you said that one weird thing during that conversation, they don't love you anymore.
Right. And then afterwards like, you're just ruminating on it for the next 3 hours.
Yeah. There's a level of like, okay, I just need to not think about that stuff as much. I felt just like happier. I mean, there were shoot weeks where I would wake up at 5 a.m., but I would just feel like just so much weight and like just so down because I wasn't confident in myself, wasn't certain of what we were doing, just uncertainty. Nowadays, shoot weeks, it's like, oh, we got that video and it's those people. Oh, that's gonna be a blast. Let's go. Like it is, it's not just me, but I feel like people around me have really gotten into a groove. And we really affect our peers more than we realize. So I feel like, you know, Angela's confidence in herself has affected me. And then I feel like my confidence and my bringing what I did to the funeral and championing Angela and, and et cetera, like I'm impacting her and we're just all.
That's that rising tides raise all ships mentality, which is rare in some areas, you know, when people are like, oh, but I want the attention, but I want the attention. And it feels like in that case, everyone is fighting for themselves. But in this case, everyone, you know, that's one of the magical parts about Smosh that I've witnessed from the outside and what it's become is it feels like it really is like we're Smosh and we're all in this together.
Yeah. Oh my God. High School Musical style. Whoa, he just did a High School Musical just then.
That was my contribution to the High School Musical fan cams. And you were saying it feels like here at Smosh, you are able to explore all those parts of you that you feel make you whole. You know, it's not, you're not just an on-camera performer. You're all these other things. You're so much more creative. You have so many more aspirations. You and I talked a little bit about like how you know, manifesting. I used to be like, manifesting, fuck that. Like, you can't just will something into existence. But I've learned that there is a reality. And I did this actually with Smosh. I started thinking, you know, it would be kind of cool to be part of that again. And even that first thought changed so many of the decisions that I made after that. I was able to lean toward it instead of away from it when it was still, you know, I still like had PTSD from the whole Smosh Defy experience that I was pushing it away. But even not pushing it away was enough for it to happen.
Yeah.
You know, so what are you holding on to right now
as things
that, what are you manifesting? What is it that you want to do next? What are some of the things that you are excited about?
I'm so excited to make more stylistic, similar to the promo projects. That was like the most, it was like a euphoric feeling when all these things that I had put down on this like visual deck of like, I want this, and like really challenged our crew to try something they'd never done before. And I was like, oh my God, like this is amazing. I truly felt like I was leveling up and these dreams that I had kind of put away a long time ago and never manifested. It was like, you start having this frame of mind of what you want. And then even when you don't realize, like the opportunities that are closer to that present themselves and it just makes you that much more willing to get those opportunities and say yes to those things. And so, yeah, like I'm so excited to just do more, making content, making stuff that really provokes feeling.
Yeah.
Like I've always been obsessed with movie scores and music videos and the power of like an image and how you can make someone understand a moment that they're not in with art. When I put my being a host and being talent aside, I love making other people look cool. I love it. Like that was what was so amazing about Funeral and why I didn't want to be in it originally is because it's like, look at all these talented people and they're at my, like I get to just make them do shit and like, I like, you're so good at this. I'm gonna make you do that. And you're gonna do that. And oh, wow. And everybody's gonna be wearing these things. And like,
I feel like that was the coolest Smosh's ever looked.
I love that for us. I love that for us. And it's like, I think a lot of that inspiration comes from like, obviously there's lots of projects in the world, but Smosh has touched on that in the past, you know, with like your awesome music videos, Legend of Zelda, Assassin's Creed. And then, you know, we did do Summer Games Wild West shortly after you left where we did this crazy trailer. And then, you know, the apocalypse one where we like got like this Mad Max truck and like all these cool stuff where it's like, wow, we're just coming together for the passion. And I remember when we were filming the trailer, everyone was just so excited. It felt like when I was younger, like in high school, like getting into that stuff where it's like, we're just doing this because we want to. And like, yes, there's jobs and stuff, but like, it is so cool. We all come together to just like create feelings. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've had a lot of different eras at Smosh where there were opportunities to stay or go.
Mm-hmm.
And I always just said yes, because ultimately this was my dream, which was creating content and making an impact. And, you know, when the Fi shut down and Ian was like checking with the cast, he kind of like interviewed all of us to see where we, how we felt and what we wanted to do. And I truly, I was like, I was born for this. This is what I was meant to do. Everything that I've ever loved about what I've done in life, it has manifested in this job. And I truly believe I am meant to be here. If I wouldn't be surprised if you guys were like, oh, actually, by the way, we created you in a test tube for this job because we needed something. It does feel like that. I feel, especially with like Smosh being what it is now, it's like, yeah, like I, it is a weird North Star of like, yeah, this is how it's supposed to be. This is where I'm supposed to be going.
Yeah.
It was like gravity almost. Like just like, okay, I'm just going to just keep falling forward into this thing that I love doing. Because at the end of the day, as serious as this interview has been in parts and stuff, like it really is like making comedy and making people laugh.
Yeah.
And like, I love it. I'm all about it.
It's interesting you stated that way because I feel the same way. You know, having been away from it for a certain amount of time, it was like the gravity brought me back. As much as I convinced myself for a little bit that I'm beyond that, I'm past it, it really does mean that much. And it's just so strange that this thing that Ian and I made when we were so young, like actually means that much to me even, but then especially to hear that it means that much to you. It's so cool to hear that and to see you thriving in this space. And I can't wait to see what it is that you do next. I know you're gonna take us by surprise.
Oh, maybe I will.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think so.
Smosh the Movie 2, coming next fall.
Starring Courtney Miller. As Dominic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you gonna pitch something?
Yeah. I really want to do a sketch. I really want to do a sketch where Dominic moves in with you and Ian, and like,
okay.
And it's just, he wants to be your guys' roommate.
Yeah? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
And you're going to leave this in.
Yeah, because it's going to be made and people got to see the origin. You've got to see the pitch.
It's so messed up of me to take advantage of this.
You took advantage of me in a vulnerable sketch. Moment.
Here, no. Well, I'm at a Five Nights at Freddy's music video. Another sketch. Make a spaghetti western movie. Horror short films.
Done.
Leo DiCaprio. Pop, pop, pop.
I'm so excited to see what you will be creating when you are given full responsibility. Like if we were just given a little peek with the funeral show and the promo, I'm so excited to see what you're capable of when we are able to give you more and more responsibility. And now that you've had more and more confidence,
hell
back
yeah.
It up too.
Frick yeah, dude.
Frick yeah.
I'm ready.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Was that Dom or is that... Sorry.
Sound person, I'm so sorry.
Oh, there's more in there?
No, we're good.
You're good?
Yeah.
I feel like you just... That was probably like 6 pounds of gas.
Is that how you measure gas?
Yeah, in pounds. Yeah. Except you put the scale up here, because gas rises, right?
I don't fucking know, dude. I do YouTube.
Yeah. I'll give you a few years, you'll be skilled at that as well.
Do not coyly rub your thigh as you talk about measuring gas. Stop.